are my friend. You are special. You are my friend. You're special to me. You are the only one like you, my friend. I like you in the daytime, in the nighttime, any time that you feel's the right time for a friendship with me, you see. F-R-I-E-N-D, special, you are my friend, you're special to me. There's only one in this wonderful world, you are special.
Hello, I'm Stacey Smith.
And I'm Patrice King Brown, and we are in the lobby of Heinz Hall in downtown Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, as you may know, was the home of Fred Rogers and was the home of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
And today is the first public tribute to Fred Rogers. Today is a gathering in memory of Fred Rogers. As you probably know, Fred died on February the 27th of stomach cancer. But as they say, this is a day to remember Fred Rogers and a lot of his accomplishments. And some of those accomplishments include the fact that he was on PBS for 30 years and that he taped over 900 programs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And the thing, Patrice, that I like about Fred Rogers through the years is his message does not fade with time. And for the next 90 minutes, we're going to remember Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers had friends in all walks of life from so many, many different areas, and you're going to be hearing from many of those people who knew him best. Some of them included world-renowned musicians, Itzhak Perlman, Yo-Yo Ma, also Alan Morrison. And today's tribute is being officiated by a very dear friend of Fred Rogers. He is a retired Presbyterian minister. His name is the Reverend Bill Barker.
And you're also going to be seeing just a couple of very touching video clips from very touching moments from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And there's one you're going to see that is my favorite, and that's with a young boy by the name of Jeff Erlanger. And if you've never seen this particular film clip before from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, I urge you to stay and watch it because it's going to touch your heart. Patrice, I think they're about ready to begin now.
Well, let's go inside.
His career 43 years ago as part of the television crew at NBC Studios in New York. The following year, he started his own program in Canada, and in 1968, he brought it to PBS. That show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which just won a fourth Emmy for its host this past Saturday, is the longest-running program in PBS history and has made Fred Rogers an American icon.
My grandfather's name was Mr. McFeely, and I always remember he said to me, "You've made this day a special day, Freddie, by just your being yourself." And that's always been with me.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood includes a much larger audience than children's television viewers. His core message, accept everyone for who they are, has won him universal acclaim.
Why in the world couldn't we use this thing called television for the broadcasting of grace through the land?
I do think that it takes a certain amount of courage to be able to tell his feelings. He's been liberated for a long, long time, almost as long as I've known him. And I think other men might like very much to be that way.
We're all on a journey, each one of us. And if we can be sensitive to the person who happens to be our neighbor, that to me is the greatest challenge as well as the greatest pleasure. Because if you're trusted and people will allow you to share their inner garden with them, What greater gift?
Fred Rogers made each of us here feel very special. He has truly blessed the lives of everyone present. All of you who are here this afternoon feel not only a special relationship to this beloved friend and neighbor, but each of us could also tell what Fred Rogers has meant. We know that he's meant so much to us and to others. At our gathering here, however, this afternoon, we will hear from a few friends, although each of you could also share tributes and offer memories of Fred. Those taking part represent the great breadth of Fred's gifts and interests, his diversity of friendships and commitments. As all of us know, Fred was committed to excellence, whether it was nurturing the lives of children, composing songs, writing scripts, or fostering television programming, especially for families and for children. Fred was deeply committed to excellence. That commitment to excellence caused him to turn down offers to produce programs on national outlets of various television studios, but he's insisted upon working with National Public Television so that he could create quality children's programs, and these, as you are already aware, won him many awards and such a wide appreciation. We're showing a brief film clip here this afternoon of Fred's appearance before Senator Pastore's Senate Committee, which saved government funding for public broadcasting from being slashed. And it is appropriate also that Pat Mitchell join us at our gathering today. Pat Mitchell is the president of Public Broadcasting System and also has been a very dear friend of Fred Rogers over the years. Pat would also like to express appreciation of what Fred Rogers had meant to PBS.
In 1969, the U.S. Senate held hearings about funding for the newly formed Corporation for Public Broadcasting. A $20 million grant proposed by former President Lyndon Johnson was in jeopardy. President Richard Nixon wanted that amount cut in half. The hearings were chaired by Senator John Pastore.
All right, Rogers, you got the floor.
Senator Pastore, this is a philosophical statement and would take about 10 minutes to read, so I'll not do that. One of the first things that a child learns in a healthy family is trust, and I trust what you have said that you will read this. It's very important to me. I care deeply about children. My first children...
Will it make you happy if you read it?
I'd just like to talk about it, if it's
all right. Sir.
Okay. My first children's program was on WQED 15 years ago, and its budget was $30. Now, with the help of the Sears Roebuck Foundation and National Educational Television, as well as all of the affiliated stations, each station pays to show our program. It's a unique kind of funding in educational television. With this help, now our program has a budget of $6,000. It may sound like quite a difference, but $6,000 pays for less than 2 minutes of cartoons, 2 minutes of animated, what I sometimes say, bombardment. I'm very much concerned, as I know you are, about what's being delivered to our children in this country. I think that it's much more dramatic that two men could be working out their feelings of anger, much more dramatic than showing something of gunfire. I'm constantly concerned about what our children are seeing. And for 15 years, I have tried in this country and Canada to present what I feel is a meaningful expression of care.
Do you narrate it?
I'm the host, yes. And I do all the puppets, and I write all the music, and I write all the scripts.
Well, I'm supposed to be a pretty tough guy, and this is the first time I've had goosebumps for the last 2 days.
Well, I'm grateful not only for your goosebumps, but for your interest in our kind of communication.
could I tell you the words of one of the songs which I feel is very important?
Yes.
This has to do with that good feeling of control, which I feel that the children need to know is there. And it starts out, what do you do with the mad that you feel? And that first line came straight from a child. What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right. What do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up friends for a game of tag or see how fast you go? It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead. And think this song. I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, can stop, 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 anytime. And what a good feeling to feel like this, and know that the feeling is really mine. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a lady, and a boy can be someday a man.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
No one ever made the case better and continues to make it every day for the role of a vital and viable public broadcasting service in our lives than does Fred Rogers. And I just think we may have to take that tape to our next congressional hearing. In my first weeks as president of PBS, I was sitting at my desk feeling a little overwhelmed and somewhat anxious about the new responsibilities I had just assumed. I heard a voice in the hallway, a voice that was instantly recognized and a voice that just as instantly seems to lower the level of anxiety wherever it is heard. It was the voice of Fred Rogers, of course, who had stopped by unexpectedly to welcome me to the PBS family. And as we talked that day, I knew that I had entered perhaps the largest, most loving, most unified family anywhere. A family that knows and loves Mr. Rogers and that feels at home in his neighborhood. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood isn't just a place on television, and Mr. Rogers isn't just a character that we welcome on public television stations in every community and have done so for more than three decades. I was with Fred recently at a gathering of public television staff and their families, and one by one they came up during dinner, so much so that Fred never got to eat a bite, to thank him for all that he had meant to public television and their families and their communities. And there was one woman who, through tears streaming down her face, said to Fred, "When you come on television, my young son comes running and says, 'Mom, Mr. Rogers is here.' Not Mr. Rogers' program is on television, but Mr. Rogers is here." I'm sure that Fred is with us today, smiling down, assuring us that he loves us just the way we are. That was perhaps the most important message for children, their families, their caregivers, that Mr. Rogers imparted daily, and that message transformed more lives than we will ever know, although today's gathering and those joining us in their homes via television shows certainly the great gratitude that we feel, and it's an indication of how extraordinary his impact was. And each of us who have children in our lives, well, that impact is profound and it's very personal. My son, Mark, who is a fully grown-up 30-year-old, but who turns into an adoring little boy at the mention of Mr. Rogers, remembers the days when I was a working single parent, and Mark, like millions of other children like him in this country, found in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood a safe haven, a place of unconditional love, and found in Fred Rogers an admiring, calm, comforting, and admirable role model. As a child, Mark wanted to imitate everything Mr. Rogers did, and for better or worse, that included his sense of fashion. I used to buy him those sweaters, you know, the ones with the cute little logos of bears and alligators and other kinds of things that appear on children's apparel. And one day I found Mark carefully removing all the logos from his sweaters. And when I asked why, he said, "Well, Mr. Rogers doesn't have to wear logos on his sweaters." And to this day, he has a fondness for sneakers that I think mirrors his friend Fred Rogers' choice as well. No one influenced children more positively than Fred Rogers. No one made them feel more special and loved, and he will continue to do so because Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood will be on public television to give that message to children for generations to come. When Fred was inducted into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, he told the audience, "We have only one life to live on Earth, and through television, we have a choice to encourage others to either demean this life or to cherish it in creative and imaginative ways." And that's the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on PBS. It's the very best example possible of how you use television to enrich life, to build character, to educate, to inspire. And yes, Fred, we will cherish that legacy forever, and we will hold that as the standard for all that we do. About a year ago, I went with Fred to the White House, a gathering to honor those who work in early childhood education. Fred finished his remarks, and then he asked everyone assembled to observe a 10 seconds of silence. He wanted them to think about the people in their lives or a special person who had influenced them, who loved them and valued them. It was a totally disarming moment in a room full of authoritative people. And it was genuine Fred Rogers. Everyone stood silently, and Fred said, "Whoever you've been thinking about, whether they're here today, far away, or even in heaven, imagine how pleased they'd be to know how much they inspired you in your life." Let's take a moment every day to think about our special friend, our neighbor, someone who inspired us beyond all measure and makes us feel special every day. Fred Rogers, we love you just the way you are. Thank you.
We remember that Fred Rogers' deep faith informed and inspired him in all he said and in all he did. It's appropriate this afternoon that we hear some words from Scripture, and significantly, these words will be the 121st Psalm, the last piece of Scripture Fred heard, and also the last he recited. And also significantly, the words today will be read by one of Fred's closest friends and colleagues, Archabbot Douglas Nowicki of the Archabbey of St. Vincent in La Trobe.
It is a privilege to pray Psalm 129 with you at this memorial service for our friend and neighbor, Fred Rogers. Fred was a man of deep faith and childlike prayer. As our nation pauses for a moment to recollect ourselves in the presence of God, let us bow our heads in prayer. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore.
Amen. Fred Rogers' gifts and appreciation for music won him wide respect among the greatest musicians. Many of these appeared on the neighborhood of Mr. Rogers. Their presence with Fred instilled a deep love for music among countless children. And one of our society's most beloved performing artists is Itzhak Perlman. When he learned of this gathering here this afternoon, he asked if he could be present, and we know that Fred would always welcome Mr. Perlman, and we're pleased to have him surprise us here with a visit this afternoon. Mr. Perlman.
Fred Rogers played a very integral part in our household while our five children were growing up. And I'm so happy that I have a chance to remember him today and to really thank him for what he did for our family. So, Fred, this is for you. I would like to play a little Gavotte by Bach. Enjoy.
Among his many accomplishments, Fred Rogers was a lifelong student of Bible and theology. That commitment led him to enroll at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, where he was a classmate of hundreds over the 8 years it took him to complete his degree as a Master of Theology. One of the classmates who has read New Testament Greek with Fred, often served with him in the ministry, is the Reverend Dr. James J. Robinson, civic leader here in Pittsburgh, a longtime pastor of the Bidwell Street Presbyterian Church, the founder of the Manchester Project. Jim Robinson will give us a few comments about what Fred has meant to our town and to him.
A 7-year-old admirer of Fred said, "He likes you just the way that you are." Another person said, "Fred Rogers was the only human being on TV to whom you would entrust the future of the world." But I think perhaps the most endearing tribute to Fred was recounted in Esquire a few years ago. When Fred wanted to meet Coco the gorilla, who had been taught American Sign Language. For Coco had watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, so when they met, the 280-pound gorilla gave Fred a big hug, and then Coco took off Mr. Rogers' shoes. I first met Fred when both of us were attending the Western Theological Seminary on the North Side. And he was showing this puppet, this king puppet, to some students. And my opinion about this fellow was, now here is one strange person. Years later, Fred had become famous and our paths kept crossing. And I was a pastor at Bidwell Presbyterian Church. And the church had a mission about a block away named the Manchester Youth Development Center. When we ran out of space, the school purchased some property and we expanded. And I invited Fred to the dedication when the building was finished. And when he came, the kids went wild when they saw him. And when Fred spoke, he told the crowd how glad he was to be in Mr. Robinson's neighborhood. We never set up luncheon dates or had special meeting times. We just kept bumping into one another, and we were always glad to see each other. We received medals from the Pittsburgh Seminary, twin medals together. What a sight two grown men strolling down the aisle hand in hand must have been. Later, a man named William Orr, our Greek and theology teacher, became ill, and his family had to place him in a nursing home. And I'm telling you, Fred and I were influenced, and we were bonded because of this man. Dr. Orr encouraged Fred in his studies when some must have felt he had never graduate trying to go to school and be a TV celebrity. And then when Dr. Orr died, his wife wanted Fred and I to conduct his memorial service at the Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, which we did. I believe enough hasn't been said about Fred Rogers' heavy theological mind, or that he was an ordained Presbyterian minister, or about his deep, deep faith and trust in God. For Fred's calling card to his TV children, like the 7-year-old kid said, "I like you just the way you are," was no accident. For I believe Fred took his TV text right out of the Bible. Fred, you're a credit to God, you're a credit to children, and you are certainly a credit to the human race.
Thank you, Jim. Through the family association beginning with his mother, Janine Morrison, Alan Morrison has been regarded as a nephew by Fred and Joanne Rogers. They've cherished his friendship from the time he was a small boy and cheered his success as one of America's most gifted young concert organists. Alan Morrison is the chair of the organ department at the Curtis Institute of Music, and we're happy to have him perform for us this afternoon.
Thank you.
One of Fred Rogers' songs was "It's You I Like," and it made us all feel as if he was singing it just to us individually. Countless guests appearing on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood felt that way too. Each of these guests on the program have helped nurture the lives of children. 25 years ago, in a hotel restaurant in Washington, D.C., Fred happened to encounter an extraordinary boy and the young man's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Erlinger. Fred Rogers and that boy, Jeff Erlinger, immediately related so comfortably with each other that day that Fred invited Jeff to appear on the program. That appearance was one of the most appealing ever seen on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Fred and Jeff have remained close ever since, and Jeff is now living and working in Madison, Wisconsin. Before hearing from Jeff, let's watch a clip from the day some years ago when young Jeff Erlinger and Mr. Rogers visited on the Neighborhood.
You know that song that I sometimes sing called "It's You I Like"?
Uh-huh.
I'd like to sing that to you and with you.
Okay, sure.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like. The way you are right now. The way down deep inside you. Not the things that
I do.
Not your fancy chair. That's just beside you.
It's you I like.
And it is you I like. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. It's an honor to be here today to celebrate the life of Fred Rogers. Fred's and my relationship really started in the early 1970s when, through the magic of cable TV back then, I was able to visit with him not one time a day or twice a day, but sometimes three or four times a day as I was able to get channels from all over the state. One of the things that Fred would teach me in these visits is not only that how to handle emotions, but that I, as an individual, was someone special. And while that is important for all kids, it was especially important for someone who was growing up with a disability. One of the amazing things about Mr. Rogers was that he'd be able to make you feel not only that you were special, but that he had a close and deep relationship with you. One of the best examples of that is when I was on the show. We taped that scene you just saw, and the segment was 10 minutes long. And people will often ask me, well, you know, it was a 10-minute segment. How long did it take you to tape that? And my answer is, it took 10 minutes to tape it. And the reason for that was because he wanted to just sit down and just chat as if we were old friends. Through the magic now of email, I've been able to stay in touch with Family Communications, and it's been a wonderful experience knowing them and knowing Mr. Rogers. And I just want to let him know that on behalf of millions of children and grown-ups alike, it's you, Fred, that I like.
Thank you, Jeff. One of the other many participants on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was a person, again, whom you all know, Yo-Yo Ma. Yo-Yo Ma would like to have been here with us this afternoon, asked to participate, However, when the date was finally set, he found he could not be with us because of a commitment for a concert tour overseas. However, this busy artist has insisted upon preparing a very special tape in honor of his beloved friend, Fred Rogers.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Yo-Yo Ma. The first time I met Fred Rogers was at a taping for a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood segment. I was really excited to meet him because my son at that time, Nicholas, was 2 years old, and Mr. Rogers was his hero. So I show up at the taping session. Mr. Rogers, Fred, comes closer and closer, and I break out into a sweat. He says, "It is so nice to see you." What was absolutely disarming about Fred Rogers was that he was so genuine, and the physical proximity between two adults, which made me so uncomfortable at first, was of course the physical proximity that makes children very comfortable with adults. He asked me to play a little song that he wrote, "Tree, Tree, Tree, I Love You." At first, I thought it was too simple. I felt a little uncomfortable playing it. But I played it, and now, years later, I realize the impact of what that segment meant to many of the children that saw that segment through letters that were forwarded to me by the neighborhood team, as well as meeting the children in person, now more grown up with a deep love for music. So now I'd like to play for you once more, "Tree, Tree, Tree, I Love You," followed by a movement, a sarabande from a Bach suite.
Fred Rogers reached out to three generations of children and their parents. His songs have sung their way into the thinking of all of us, little people and big people alike. We all have been helped to value ourselves and others because of Fred Rogers and his music. Salim Gabriel, another beloved friend of Fred's and also a Presbyterian minister, is the executive director of the Pittsburgh Project, working with children. Salim has a wonderful tape in which a group of neighbors are joyfully singing some of Fred Rogers' best-known compositions. Following Salim Gabriel's remarks, we'll see that tape. Salim?
A couple of years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Rogers stopped by the Pittsburgh Project to visit us and see one of the performances that our children in our program were putting on. Earlier that week, I informed the children that we were going to have very special guests, and of course, they were elated. The night of the show, Mr. and Mrs. Rogers came in their typical fashion, and without fanfare, they took their seats in the side bleachers and did not want to draw attention to themselves. Halfway through the production, one of the children who was trying so hard to spot Mr. Rogers in the audience but couldn't, in the middle of the performance, shouted, "Where you at, Mr. Rogers? Where you at?" Where you at, Mr. Rogers? Today, I have absolutely no question as to Mr. Rogers' whereabouts. He is in the heavenly neighborhood after which he modeled his television neighborhood. And he is with the architect of that neighborhood, the one who gave shape to Mr. Rogers' vision and fueled his passion. Author Max Lucado wrote about a season in his life when he was traveling a great deal. He didn't like to travel and be away from home and his family. He said his favorite leg of any flight was the last leg, the journey home. He would anticipate the wheels of the plane touching down, and he would have one hand on his briefcase and one hand on his seatbelt ready to bolt. And he would make it through the jetway and find a crowded room filled with people who weren't there to see him. But then he would hear the hand clapping of a child. He would follow that familiar sound until his eyes would land on a little girl standing on a chair, applauding the coming home of her daddy. And as soon as she knew that his eyes caught hers, she would jump off the chair and come running to him, and he would pick her up and hold her and love her and kiss her and tell her how special she is. On Thursday, February 27th, 2003, Mr. Rogers was on a plane going home. His trip was rich with great experiences, warm memories, and deeply, deeply, profoundly loved people. That day was the last leg of his flight home. He had one hand on his sweater and one hand on his seatbelt. And as soon as he heard the captain's bell, he unfastened his seatbelt and bolted through the jetway and into the crowded waiting area. There was his father, James, and his mother, Nancy, his grandfather and grandmother, Mr. and Mrs. Fred McFeely, and there were other family and friends and neighbors. And after a few moments of celebration, he heard the hand clapping of one. He followed the sound until his eyes caught the eyes of his God, who was standing on a chair clapping for him. God ran towards Fred, embraced him, loved him, kissed him, and told him how special he is. "Well done," he said. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. For I was lonely and you visited me. I was scared and you reassured me. I was feeling small and vulnerable and like I didn't matter, but you told me I was special. I was afraid of taking a bath, and you told me I could never go down the drain. I was frightened by the news about military planes and war, but you comforted me. And Mr. Rogers responded, "When, Lord? When?" And the Lord answered, "Fred, when you did it to any one of the least of these, my children, you did it to me. Come now to your new home, your eternal neighborhood."
Many have assumed that Fred Rogers' ministry to families and children ended with his death last February the 27th. You may be reassured that this is not the case, for some years ago, Fred established Family Communications Incorporated as a vehicle to continue what he had dedicated his life to do. Fred gathered a group of persons who shared his caring for children and their families to serve on a board of directors. He also found a group of exceptionally talented, committed persons to serve with him on his staff. One of those who has served on the board of directors of Family Communications Incorporated from its inception is Teresa Hines. This woman has known Fred for years and has encouraged him all during those years. And it's fitting that she be here this afternoon as a member of the board to speak of what Fred has meant to her and all of the board.
Saying goodbye to friends is always hard. And saying goodbye to a man whose character personified friendship for generations of children and adults is much harder. Fred was a godfather to my son, Christopher. He was a good friend to my late husband, and a very good friend of mine. Sorry. And during summers on Nantucket, he was our neighbor, almost. But for Fred, the whole world was his neighbor, and everyone in it, his friend. I'm keenly aware that I speak not just for me, but also for millions who grieve this loss. I once asked Fred which of the characters in the neighborhood he was most like, and he said, "Daniel Tiger." And you know how shy he was? And I always hoped I could be Henrietta Pussycat, you know, to take care of him. One might wonder how Fred could have been so shy and yet become so famous a public figure, indeed a cultural icon. And the answer was simple. It was magic. But his was not a magic of illusionists, fun as it is, or the trickery of entertainers. Rather, it was a simple magic of love, of trusting. Fred once shared with me a letter that he received from a mother. It's a long letter. A mother of an autistic boy who did not speak and who every day sat in front of the set, listened to the whole program, and then when it was over, he'd switch the set off, and he, with his back turned to the screen, he would, you know, he would kind of sing in some form of language of his to no one in the room, but he went through his expression. It was the only time he expressed. He had no verbal language. And one day, when he was 5, his mother was preparing his dinner. He stood up, as always, I guess, turned his back on the set, and his words were unmistakable. "It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood," as well as he could say it, but he could. It was a miracle. Perhaps the breaking of a barrier, the opening up of a life. Fred gave so many people similar gifts, and he did it merely by speaking to them in open, honest, and in non-threatening ways. He never condescended. He just invited us into his conversation. He spoke to us as the people we were, and not as the people others wished we were. In his work, Fred told the story of all of our feelings, their worthiness. He showed children both the real world, that universe of people and places he shared with them from his kitchen table, sitting there in his sneakers and in his wonderful sweater. And then by train, he took them to the world of make-believe, the land of King Friday, the 13th, the magic land. And that line between reality and make-believe is increasingly blurred in our society. And it isn't either kind or a wise gift to children, creating as it does many false standards, expectations, and role models. Fred honored the need that children have for a real world that they can feel safe in, and a make-believe world that they can escape to, and the ability to tell which is which. Fred also was able to look past the differences that so often are all that we see in each other and in life. He focused instead on what all of us, children and adults, have in common: the need to feel special, to be accepted for who and what we are. Joanne, I can say that his gift, and what a gift he was, and how wise he was, would allow us now to hold onto into this, in this particularly conflicted world of ours, this global neighborhood. And with Jamie and John and your family and new baby grandson, I am so sorry that Fred has left you and us. But I'm so grateful that he blessed us with his life. Fred's message and vision is with us forever. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood will continue to air, as always, on public television. Family Communications, his production company, will carry on as he wished. But most of all, every one of us whose lives he touched will continue to hold his gentle yet strong spirit deep inside of us. Once Fred and I were sitting in Nantucket, at the house by the beach, when we were interrupted by the squawking of a gull trying to break the clams by dropping them on the roof. And Fred referred to the gull as Elvira. And I thought, all right. And he told me that she had a huge congregation out in Madagascar and a huge Sunday services. So she became a high priestess kind of for me. And ever since, and I make up children's stories, which my father used to also make up and tell them to the babies. And when I do talk about seagulls, it's Elvira. And if they're gray, it's Oscar or Lucas, because they're still children, babies. Anyway, Elvira is special to me, and every time I'm in Nantucket, there's Fred and Elvira. This summer, I will bicycle to Madagascar, to the Crooked House, where Fred composed and wrote so much. And there at water's edge on Nantucket Sound, I will sit on the warm sand with seagulls squawking and let Fred's song envelop me in a reverie that will never go away. Somewhere, each of us have that place. So let us remember him there. Thank you.
Those of us associated with Fred Rogers on Family Communications Incorporated knew that Fred was a person who enjoyed himself and enjoyed others, a fun person. He loved to laugh, and he could even laugh at himself. The side of Fred in song and in a game that we're going to see that Ella Jenkins once was trying to teach Fred and Chuck Aber, that little children's song and dance, Head and Shoulders, shows that side of Fred as a fun person.
When I was about 5 years old, we used to have recess, and in our schoolyard, some of the 6th and 7th, 8th graders were doing some pretty fancy rhythms, and I forgot sometimes where my head was or my shoulders were, but we did something like this: head and shoulders, baby, 1, 2, 3. Try it with me. Head and shoulders, baby, 1, 2, 3. Head and shoulders, baby, 1, 2, 3. Head and shoulders, head and shoulders, head and shoulders, baby, 1, 2, 3. Now let's sing it. Oh. Head and shoulders, baby, 1, 2, 3. Head and shoulders, baby, 1, 2, 3. Head and shoulders, head and shoulders, head and shoulders, baby, 1, 2, 3. Knees and ankles, knees and ankles, baby, 1, 2, 3. Knees and ankles, baby, 1, 2, 3. Knees and ankles, knees and ankles, knees and ankles, baby, 1. Ankles and toes, ankles and toes, baby, 1, 2. Ankles and toes, baby, 1, 2, 3. Ankles and toes, ankles and toes, ankles and toes, baby, 1, 2, 3. And the way we used to end it was like this. That's all, baby, 1, 2, 3. That's all, baby, 1, 2, 3. That's all, that's all, that's all, baby, 1, 2, 3.
And that is all. It's time for us to get to the school to do our work with the children.
Okay, fine. Good seeing you again.
Where are you going now?
We're going over to one of the schools and the neighborhood schools and share some of these rhythms with them.
Oh, so you teach in the schools too. Oh, thanks for coming.
Good seeing you again.
It's always great to be with you, Ella.
Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Chuck.
Bye-bye.
When Fred used this segment in speeches, he would say, Ella never laughed at me, never put me down, or made fun of me. The fact that I was trying was all that mattered. Fred was one of those rare individuals who was not afraid to be himself and to share himself with others. He was a composer, a minister, an author, a puppeteer, a brother, a husband, a father. A grandfather, a godfather, a neighbor, and a friend to all children. Through it all, he was always himself. And as his wife Joanne so often reminded us, what you see is what you get. Fred gave generations of children his honest self, which is his legacy. That legacy, built over 35 years through Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, continues as part of PBS's children's programming. Giving of oneself takes great strength and courage and great faith. This was Fred Rogers. He illuminated values that are truly important in life, and then he lived them every day. Tolerance, love, support, compassion, acceptance, understanding. That was the essence of Fred Rogers. Understanding was the main factor that enabled him to talk with children about important issues, some scary to them. Death, divorce, failure, sickness, disabilities, anger, making mistakes, going to the hospital or dentist. Fred proudly dedicated his life's work to providing the best for children in their earliest years and to showing adults how important it is to help children grow in healthy ways. His messages stayed with many of the children who grew up with the neighborhood. Clear evidence is when Fred would give a college commencement speech, the audience, and especially the graduates, would often spontaneously break into song. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and sing their hearts out to the end, please won't you be my neighbor. Fred founded Family Communications to produce Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and other projects and materials to inspire children and parents and those who work with children. His work ethic was unmatched by anyone I know. He was in the office 6 and usually 7 days a week, writing scripts, books, songs, or signing letters and photos and trolleys, that on some days were so many in number that he would simply say, mercy, we may never get through this pile. Those of us at Family Communications who had the honor and the privilege to work with Fred knew his impact. We heard for years how deeply he touched others, but when Fred died, the outpouring was absolutely overwhelming. Hundreds of thousands of children and adults took time to express their personal grief through letters, phone calls, emails, and gifts, along with newspaper and magazine articles, television specials, and corporate tributes. Just one letter. You were a reassuring authority in my life. Your rules for life made as much sense to me at age 5 as they do now that I'm 37. Discover something new. Listen to people's stories, sing, take time, be generous, imagine, feed the fish. We have heard from so many people that Fred's messages, Fred's voice, needs to be heard now more than ever. He taught us that every person has value. We must all reach out to our children, our neighbors, and create communities where children are cared for, respected, supported, and loved. Fred realized that what is essential is invisible to the eye. That's a favorite quote of his from The Little Prince. We know that the words will no longer come directly from Fred. Family Communications, in partnership with many of you, will keep alive his messages of hope and love and reassurance, and we will continue to speak as he did with sound knowledge of child development, passion, and understanding. Over the years, Fred assembled an incredibly talented and dedicated staff. Those of us who worked with him have a responsibility and an obligation to continue his work. We are committed because we know how important it is, what a difference it makes for children, parents, and those who work with children. You are seeing evidence of that during today's memorial service. Fred considered life a journey. What mattered were the little things. He never considered himself a star or a celebrity. He was a humble man who did the best he could every day, every experience, every challenge. Fred faced his final challenge when he was diagnosed with an illness that would too quickly take him from us. When he told the staff about his diagnosis and planned operation, his words reflected all the strength and faith and heart that so accurately characterized him. Well, Fred said, we are on another journey. If each of us here in Heinz Hall in Pittsburgh, those watching on television and listening on the radio, can continue to carry the message of Fred Rogers, we can make a better place for our children, for us, and have many beautiful days in our neighborhoods. Yes, Fred, we are continuing the journey.
As a classically trained musician, Fred Rogers introduced children to the opera and the fine arts. Songs continue to delight children and adults alike. When Fred died on February 27th, the following evening at the Pittsburgh Symphony, before the performance began, Harold Smoljar, one of the artists with the symphony, played a medley of Fred's songs on the piano. Following that was a minute of silence, and Harold Smoljar, here this afternoon, will offer that tribute to Fred Rogers by playing a medley of Fred's wonderful songs. Won't you be my neighbor? And to describe how the family feels about all of us and to thank us for being here, John Rogers, one of Fred's sons, will make a few comments to us today. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Bill. And I wanted to thank everybody who put this beautiful production together. Dad would be so proud. I'm sure he is watching from above and is so happy with today. And our family would like to greet those here in Heinz Hall and in Dad's, as he called it, his neighborhood television, his television neighbors. We want to thank everybody for their support, loving support. And Dad was a very special family member. He was a dad, a grandfather, a husband, and of course he was a son. And it shows how full circle life is. 12 days after my father passed away, I had a son come into the world. And it's been so special. And I wanted to say, hi, Dad. I always said, hi, Dad, when I saw Dad. If it had been a while, that's how I greeted him. But I also wanted to say that Dad was one of the best listeners anyone could imagine. He gave of himself in his listening skills, and we loved him for that. And as my mother always said, what you see is what you get, and what you saw was what you got with my dad. And I'd just like to close with a work from Emerson called Success. Dad gave me a plaque years ago, and I know this these words meant a lot to him, and I feel they're part of his strength and bond. So I will close with that. To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, this is to have succeeded. And he sure made my life easier. Thank you.
You've already heard how Fred completed seminary studies and received a theological degree. When he completed those studies, those of us who knew Fred said that your form of ministry will not be by donning a clerical robe and standing behind a pulpit on Sunday morning at 11, but by continuing your ministry through television to children. However, all of us who are colleagues in ministry with Fred and have been for years have been proud of the fact that he has always been a fellow minister. One of those who has known Fred for many years is a beloved colleague also, the Reverend Dr. George Wirth. And during his years in the parish here in Pittsburgh and continuing afterwards, Dr. Wirth and Fred have cherished a relationship that has been very special. George, I'm calling on you to close our program this afternoon before we sing the final hymn with prayer.
At the beginning of every day, after his swim, Fred Rogers set aside the time to read and reflect and pray. It was the source of his spiritual life. And those prayers were often lifted up on behalf of many of us, more than we could ever probably know. I think it would be good, remembering Fred, if we'd all reach out now and take hands with the others sitting close by to us as we offer this prayer. Great and eternal God, we are here today on holy ground with tears in our eyes and gratitude in our hearts for the life and the love and the great legacy of Fred McFeely Rogers. 75 years ago, you brought him into this world, made him in your own image, and gave him the seal of divine approval. And as he grew up, you conveyed to him that you loved Fred just the way he was, and that was Fred's message throughout his lifetime to all of us. And so we are here to thank you, Lord, for all that ministered to the best in Fred's life, for his compassion, his intensive care, which reached out to touch all of your children everywhere, for his laughter and playful spirit, which helped so many find joy in their journeys through life, for the gift of music which flowed in his veins, and for the inspired words that you gave to him, which are now familiar refrains to all of us, for his conviction and courage and sense of purpose, and for your call to him to dedicate his life in service to others. For all of that, and so much more, we give thanks to you, O Lord, knowing that your servant, Fred Rogers, has now finished his course on this earth and rests in peace with you forever in heaven. We are here who miss him, especially Joanne and all of his family and colleagues in family communications and all the wide circle of friends. And so we ask you for the healing power of your Holy Spirit so that we can mourn with joy and celebrate with Fred Rogers a life well lived from here to eternity. We pray this in your holy name, O God. Amen.
Fred loved music, including the traditional hymns. One of Fred Rogers' favorite hymns was For All the Saints. And what better way for us to remember our saintly friend than by standing to sing together this great hymn? Will you kindly rise and express your thanks to God for the life of Fred Rogers by singing the verses printed in the program?
Brown from Hines Hall in downtown Pittsburgh.
And if you'd like to know more about Fred Rogers, just go to WQED.org. Thanks for joining us.
Talk about your favorite Mr. Rogers moments with family and friends by starting your own PBS program club. Log on to PBS.org to help you get started.
You play cards?
It begins and ends over a deck of cards. A battle of wills. A joining of hearts, a reunion of two screen legends.
Game's underway.
Mary Tyler Moore and Dick Van Dyke, as you've never seen them before. PBS Hollywood presents...
Gin.
The Gin Game.
Sunday night at 9, here on WQED TV 13.
WQED Multimedia is your resource for the battle against depression.
Got to the point where... things started to bother me.
Find out why Pittsburgh is the best place to be if you have a problem and you're looking for help. What's your future?
Bright. Bright. We have hope.
Turn to OnCue for a special four-night series devoted